Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The gospel, the good news, listen to me, is not about good people getting better. It's about dead people becoming alive.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, we'll turn to the book of Acts as Pastor Herron shares with us characteristics of a difference-making church.
The book of Acts is a documentation of the early church. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it mentions an individual. This is Saul. Notice, if you would, when Saul here in verse 1 was preaching out threatenings, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to those synagogues, because he wanted to go in and take care of the way, the Bible says. So he journeyed to come near Damascus, and suddenly there shined right about him a light from heaven. Do you remember the story? He fell down. And he heard the voice, verse 4, saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? He asked one of two questions that are critical, deep questions. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, God? I don't know who you are. And the second question he asked when the answer came, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and he astonished. And he said the second question that most people need to have answered besides, who are you, Lord? Lord, what do you want me to do? Most people in their life are asking the question, God, who are you? And number two, what do you want me to do? What's my purpose on this earth? That's what's so critical for people to be able to answer. You might be here today, and you've really never been able to answer that. God gives you answers, and you find them in Scripture. For Paul, an individual that was so opposed to what he saw as a threat in what they were called the way, or later in Antioch called Christians, he fought against them. He honestly was doing what he thought was right, and yet he found out horribly was totally opposed to what God wanted him to do, because God was found in Christ Jesus. But the church here that you find impact is the Jerusalem church, because Paul went on, or Saul to be known as Paul. He was gone for 3.5 years. He showed up in Damascus, and eventually he came to Jerusalem. Drop down to verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join him to the disciples. And they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was a disciple. And this church at Jerusalem was the church that was the first church that had an impact on its known society. But they themselves were very afraid. They're not sure about this Saul, this individual. And a guy named Barnabas came along, stood up for Saul, and said he's the real deal. And Saul became a part of that church at Jerusalem for a while. And notice the result of all of this. The text, very briefly, verse 31, the Bible says, Then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And you end up finding this difference-making church had rest. And the Bible mentions three very particular, specific statements that the church that made a difference was described by. Notice these three, because I think these are the three descriptions that we would certainly want for our church. And for church to be difference in its making, these are going to be characteristic. I would say to them today, notice in the Bible, it says, first of all, and I'm not making this up, I'm reading the text, verse 31, the Bible says they had rest, and here's the result. Number one, they were edified. They were edified. What does that mean to be edified? Very simply, I stated it this way because the idea is one of being built up, one of, well, as I would say, we are to be built up in the faith. The Bible says in Romans 15, 2, let every one of us be edified or pleasing his neighbor for its good to edification. What does he mean by that? He means very simply that this particular church was one that learned that we need to edify one another or be built up in the faith. For a church to make a difference, it first of all has to be built up. It starts with salvation, even as it was with Saul. In other words, Saul was opposed to God, and he didn't even know it. And God, in His grace and His mercy, stepped down and said, Saul, you are going the wrong way. And on a Damascus road, Saul had a dramatic change. Saul himself, who became for a while a part of that Jerusalem church, they were built up in the faith. In other words, they were in a place of knowing the difference between something that they themselves were trying to do on their own versus knowing that they need to be built up in the faith and only God could do that. I think of a fanciful story, and maybe this would help you to understand what I'm talking about. The story is, and I think I've mentioned it a few years ago, about the story of a king who had two sons. Both of these sons had had a debate with themselves. They came to their father and they said, Father, you as the king need to help us, because both of them had a disagreement. The question was, is it a gentleman born or made? Is it a gentleman born or made? Well, the father said, I want you to discover that for yourself. And so he said, we will reconvene in 1 week. You come with proof. The first son, the gentleman is made. And the second son was trying to prove the gentleman was born. And so the two departed different directions. The son who believed a gentleman was made, not born, went into a restaurant. There while he was eating, he found, as he ordered this cup of tea, was amazed that the waiter was a cat. Well, this cat had been trained to stand on his hind legs and carry the tray in his forepaws. He wore a tiny uniform and a hat. He was proof that a creature could overcome his nature with training and discipline. Well, the first son had his example. But the second son there was not so fortunate. He was trying to find evidence out of the kingdom to support his theory. He returned home empty-handed, and what was worse, word had leaked out about his brother's discovery. The news of that walking cat had made him doubt his own convictions. But then, just hours before the two were to appear in court, he saw something in a storefront, and he went into the store and purchased it and put it in a box and went to the court. Now the two sons entered the court of the king, each one carrying a box. The first son announced that he could prove that a man could overcome any obstacle and become a gentleman. And so, as the king watched, the son presented the cat dressed in miniature court dress. He gave the king a tray of chocolates. The king was stunned. His son was proud. The court broke out in applause. What excellent proof. Who could deny the evidence of that walking cat? I mean, everyone pitied the second son. The second son was not discouraged. And with a bow to the king, he also had a box, and he opened the box that he had bought, and he released several mice into the court. Why, instantly, that cat scampered after those mice. The reality is the cat's true nature had been revealed and a point had been made. A walking cat is still a cat. You can change his clothes, you can teach him tricks, you can give him a hat and train him to walk, and after a while he'll appear to be changed, but present him with the one thing that he can't resist and you'll be faced with an undeniable truth. A walking cat is still a cat. Saul found himself thinking that I can make myself better and I can make myself into, not a gentleman, but I can make myself good enough to be pleasing to God. And God here takes a Saul and says, listen, your heart is still sinful. You can't change your heart. You can try and make yourself better, but you can't change your heart. Saul was trying to do all kinds of good things, and he was empowered by the religious powers to be and the high priest. And just as this son thought, I can end up with this cat, prove that I've trained and I've changed him, he hasn't changed his nature. Listen, here's the point of the whole Bible. To be built up in the faith, you have to start with the faith that's grounded in not goodness. Jesus Christ didn't come to make good people better or even bad people good. This is what religion says. Jesus Christ, all through the Scripture, says, I'm not coming to try and make bad people good. Because if that's the premise of the Bible, then here, what do we do in our nature? I'll make myself better. That's what I'll do. And you know what? I've seen some good people get better, and I've seen some bad people reform themselves and become pretty good. But Jesus, all through Scripture, including with Saul here, who unveils himself and says, listen, I'm not coming to make good people better. The gospel, the good news, listen to me, is not about good people getting better. It's about dead people becoming alive. The Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. I can't make myself alive. There's no doctor in this world today, trust me, if he was, you'd hear him on the news, that you bring in your dead relative or your dead friend and he'll make him alive. Now, wouldn't that be a great profession to be in? Jesus says spiritually we're dead in our trespasses and sins, and he came to Saul and said, Saul, I want to give you new life. That's what the Bible says. If we accept ourselves as sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then I call upon the name of the Lord. That's what salvation is. I say all this because this is so important to start right from the beginning. Because if we miss this, we miss the very heart of the gospel. And we start turning, just as Saul did, ourselves into, I know what it is, I'll just get more religious and I'll do more good things. But the difficulty is late at night when you put your pillow there and you put your head on your pillow late at night, and unless you have that settled assurance that Jesus Christ forgave you for all of your sins, there's an unsettledness and there's a deep gnawing in your soul. What do I do with this? You see, listen to me. Jesus Christ didn't come and die for you to save you from hell. He came to die for your sins to save you from your sin. This is the problem, the sin problem. And when I can realize that, Jesus, you came to save me from my sin, that's an internal traitor, the Puritans used to call it. It's an inside job. And when you spend time, I'll clean up the outside, I'll do better. That you find yourself on a, I'm working my way, and God, aren't you surprised that I've done so good? And this is why Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if you understand that, and I would like to hasten and put a parenthesis in here, my friend, Pastor Heron's not saying this, so you know what? You become a Baptist. That's what you need to do. That's the answer. Oh, I see what he's saying. Boy, I'll join this church and yes, I'm going to heaven. I don't think so. You know more coming to church that's going to make you a Christian than you walking into a garage and it's going to make you a car. Yeah, I'm going there and I'm going to become a car. I don't think so. Hey, I want you to come to church. We're trying to tell you the truth. But my friend, it's not where you go to church, it's where you go and you die. And Christ said, I'm giving you the gospel, the good news, that you don't need to work your way to heaven. When you come to the conclusion, I am a sinner, I have no hope. Christ, you bore your body for our sins on the cross that covered all of my sin. When I come humbly before you, as it was with Saul, in a dramatic way, thrust to his knees with a light from heaven, blind for 3 days, but he got the answer. Who are you, Lord? You're Jesus Christ. And number two, what do you want me to do? Now you've got a purpose for living.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.